yo, what is up? What is up? Welcome back to Hoops and Brews. Right now, obviously, as you can see, it's just me. Also, I'm not moving out of my house, just rearranging some things. That's why the background looks the way it looks today. But yeah, man, again, shout out to all y'all for being here. Joe will be joining me sooner than later. He's getting things straight. But yeah, I hope all you guys are having a great Wednesday. Currently in LA, it is, I think, 73 degrees, which is definitely a plus. It's 73 degrees today, which is incredible. But yeah, man, got to talk a little bit of hoop with you guys. I guess first thing we can start with that I would like to start with actually is the Warriors. The Warriors have been playing better basketball recently. I think they have the longest win streak in the league currently, which is at, I think, six games, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to say they're figuring things out, but I definitely think that one, Houston being on the run and Houston was on, kind of lit a fire underneath them and made them, you know, hone in a little bit, focus harder. Also, I think that they're finally figuring out the lineups as far as like with Chris coming off the bench and Klay coming off the bench, even though Klay started a couple games recently, but still CP3 and Klay coming off your bench, still crazy because most teams, you know, sixth, seventh, and eighth guys aren't as good as Klay Thompson and CP3. So they've been playing much, much better recently. As far as them being an actual contender or something, I don't know if I'm ready to say all that. But I do think that they could be one hell of a first-round series for somebody, and that would be a very annoying series and somebody that I wouldn't want to play first round. But bringing in a homie, Joe, how you feeling?
What's good, Joe? I'm solid. Solid, Rick. For the get the NBA playoff basketball underway and to finish up this tournament.
To finish up the tournament, playoff. Yes, also that too, the NCAA tournament, women and men's. I was quick to talk about the Warriors, but again, we were watching the game, but it wasn't over when we stopped. Shout out Connecticut for advancing. Shout out Iowa for advancing, South Carolina. And what's the other team?
I don't know off the top of my head, the other team. I knew those three.
Yeah, I don't know the other team. Sorry for that. Sorry, I don't know the other team. But I was talking about the Warriors. The Warriors have won six straight games.
NC State.
No, wait. Is that for women's or men's? Because I know men's. Women's.
Yeah, it's NC State versus South Carolina and UConn versus Iowa for women.
Oh shit! NC State having one hell of a run this year. The Warriors, they've won six straight games. What do you think about the Warriors? What do you think that they're – or if you even have actual thoughts about the Warriors? Again, I think that, you know, like I said previously before you came on, I think that the Rockets doing what they were doing kind of lit a fire underneath them because, again, not making the play-in at least would have been extremely embarrassing. You had to fall to 11th to not make the play-in. And if you don't make the play-in, I think you would have – I think they're going to have to look at – having some tough conversations this summer regardless. But if they don't make the play-in, you definitely got to have some tough conversations with people. But what do you think about the Warriors and, I guess, the prospects of what they could possibly do?
I think that they're dangerous just by default because, I mean, when you go a team led by Steph Curry, and his legacy and what he's capable of, what he's been doing this year, and you look at some of the pieces around him and you can't just, like, you know, simply brush them off. Specifically, you know, just the growth of the Kamingas. I still think guys like Moses Moody should play a little more, and Wiggins as of late has finally started to look like Andrew Wiggins. He's been more actively defensively, he's been there offensively, he's facing the floor and he's guarding. Draymond is still there. When he's not, you know, getting ejected 5 minutes into the game, he's still a very productive NBA player. I'm not sure if he's all defense anymore. I'm not sure if he doesn't get any all-star consideration. He's past his prime pretty much, but he's still a very productive NBA player and he still has the chemistry with the coaches and the players. They still have that same core. So when you got that, you can't really count them out really ever. But I don't think they just have high expectations for themselves, but I also don't think teams should want to seek them out. I think they can still go pretty – I think they can still surprise people. It's possible. I'm not going to shut the door on them. I really like Pods, the rookie. I think he was a top three steal this year. I really like him. Trace Davis Jackson has been great for them. And that's like coming at a perfect time because Looney has regressed a lot this year. Looney has not been the same guy.
I don't know what happened to Looney this year.
Yeah, he's regressed a lot, but Trayce Davis-Jackson has been great for them. He's a rim running big who protects the floor, finishes alley oops, finishes around the rim, protects the paint a little bit, runs up and down, kind of brings them life, and gives a guy Draymond can have that lot there for. Draymond has been really good with a lot there. So we just look at him with JaVale McGee, look at him with Jordan Bell, certain guys that he meshes well with after that pick and roll breaks down and Steph hits him, it's a 1-on-2 situation. He'll attack, and guys like that, they'll eat off him. But I think that they'll with the Warriors, I think if they make it to the playoffs, that'd be a hell of a season for them. I think that they should just try their best to get there. I mean, they'd probably be 10th. The Rockets probably aren't going to catch them, but if they can get to the playoffs and give somebody hell, then salute. I mean, they did their thing. That they pretty much fulfilled what their fan base should be expecting and everything that based on what this year has become. I mean, and what this team has become over the years. I still question Steve Kerr's rotations, and I question sometimes how Steph Curry's off ball a little too much. But, I mean, besides – I think they should still expect to just be hell of a playing out. They better hope for like a double OT playing game or something like that. Just something where they go out there and at least, you know, try their hardest to, you know, compete and be what they've been, you know, over the years. I think the fact that they won that championship 2 years ago really relieves years like this, honestly.
They would, if they played in the playing game today, they would be playing against the Lakers. Which, I mean, we can talk
We've
about
seen
the Lakers
that before.
We have seen that before. I mean, we can talk about the Lakers. But they've been playing much, much better as of late. I know Jared Vanderbilt, they said that he is getting reevaluated for his foot sprain. So he may come back. Gabe Vincent did just come back. So right now that would be a Lakers Warriors play-in game. What do you think about that? And I mean, number one, I'm tired of seeing this matchup. Granted.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we only gonna get this so many more times. You know what I'm saying? We not gonna get this matchup too many more times. Obviously, LeBron, you even heard him say, like, I don't know how much longer I'm gonna play. I would assume it would be 1 to 2 more years, maybe. I don't think it's gonna be like some 3, 4, 5 years thing. He's gonna be doing this. Steph is getting up in age, so we're not gonna get this matchup too many more times. And granted, it did give us one of the best games of the year earlier this season, but I'm so damn tired of them. It seems like they play like 10 times every year. I know they only play four, but it seems like they play 10 times every year, bro. But thoughts on the Lakers, thoughts on a potential play-in game. Lakers and Warriors, what do you think about the Lakers?
I think that pretty much easily goes to the Lakers. But I think
Lakers easily time, goes I think, to Lakers.
I mean, it'd probably be a competitive game. But if I was to like, if someone to ask me if I was to bet harder money on it, I'm betting on the Lakers pretty easily. We just look at this year is very reminiscent of last year, and I'm more confident about this year because I mean it's more time for the chemistry and more time for these players to, you know, mesh. It's been the same group, but Lakers have been one of the better teams in the league in February. They finally learned how to shoot the three ball. Reeves is getting comfortable. He's selling himself into the offense. D'Angelo Russell is still playing the post-trade deadline. Original D'Angelo Russell does not look fluky at all. He's been playing like this for quite some time now. Anthony Davis has been all world.
He's been great.
He's at minimum all NBA second team this year, and that's just because of all the talent in the league. He's been all world this year. He's actually been on the court this year too. So the main criticism at him, he's only missed like 4 or 5 games. You want to say something?
I would argue this is possibly Anthony Davis's best season.
As a Laker or just ever?
In general.
I mean, his whole career. I don't know. Them Pelican years used to be fire.
The only reason I'm saying is because he's going to play like his most games he's played since like 17, 18. He's at 71. Those years he played 75 when he gave you 28, 11, and 2.6, which is obviously great, but this year he's giving you basically 25, 13 boards, pretty much 4 assists, 2.5 blocks, and a steal. And he's shooting 55%, which is the second best he's ever shot in his entire career.
I feel you. The impact is
one of Anthony Davis' best seasons.
Yeah, the impact is large.
If not his best season, definitely his best as a Laker, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm not mad at that for sure. The Laker win. It's up there. It's right neck and neck with the 2020 season. If you just look at like that Milwaukee game, a couple times the game is over if he doesn't make that rotation and slide over and get the block. He's on, as also top, they call it on stocks, right? And I think him and Wimby are going neck and neck for most stocks per game.
I'm so, man, listen, bro. Yes. There is a new stat that they made up called stocks to show Wimby love. Yes, there is a new stat.
No, it's been around since before Wimby.
Ain't nobody fucking say stocks.
Yes, they have. They have. They definitely have.
I ain't heard that shit until Wimby came alive. But but continue.
Davis has consistently always been one of the leaders in stocks. But if they continue to rely on him, LeBron James, is he's been great this year as well. And the Vanderbilt, you talked about him coming back. He would – desperately help this team a lot. A guy who can go out and guard wings, a guy who can get on the ball for loose, dive on the ground for loose balls, a guy who can get those contested rebounds, a guy who can be versatile for your switch for you, a guy who can go out there and use five fouls and, I mean, and not really be too concerned about it. He'll help a ton. I think Rui has also, even when he's, as of late, great basketball. When Bron or AD aren't out there, Rui has had a couple double-doubles. He's out there. He's spacing the floor. He's playing great basketball. I think my biggest issue with the Lakers really was sometimes just issues with them with their role players buying in. Sometimes I don't like guys like Dinwiddie and Taurean Prince. Sometimes they shoot a lot of shots they probably shouldn't shoot, and they'll go possessions. Well, they'll absolutely ignore Anthony Davis when he's obviously the best offensive and defensive player on the court at the time. They'll go put 3, 4, 5 or whole like 4 or 5 minute stretches without even looking at the man. And instead, we're getting a Dinwiddie step back. We're getting a Taurean Prince fadeaway. And these guys seem like they're – a lot of times they're chasing their own stats instead of trying to win the game. So, Darvin Ham, that's my big thing on him, really. I know the X's and O's obviously have been a question mark, but if he can get the role players to really buy in and really want to get this Lakers team to want to win games and give them the formula for that, and which is get Davis the ball, get LeBron the ball, let them run a two-man game, play off of those players, now I think this team can really be dangerous. I don't think any team wants to see us – at all. This is not my opinion, but I do think it's fire. Nick Wright, one of the head media guys for Fox Sports, said that he thinks Lakers should just get the Nuggets in the first round. And just go for a first round. If we beat them, sky's the limit. I mean, if we don't beat them, the Wizards are going to beat them no way anyways. While LeBron and AD are fresh, bring the Nuggets to us, see how we react to it while the beginning of the playoffs, and go for it right there. Yeah, get them first round. Yes, because it's no point. Because the reward is too high.
There is a point because I think a team like the Timberwolves could pose a serious problem for the Nuggets if they can just play with their head on straight. I think that they can pose a serious problem for the Nuggets. But I'm with you, the Lakers. Granted, the weird thing about this year and the play-in in general is the two teams at the bottom. Really, honestly, if you look at the standings, you're not running the play any of these teams. Like, look at the play. Right. You got the Kings, the Suns.
The Kings are hurt now. The Kings lost Malik Monk.
They did lose.
That's going to be huge. That's going to end up being huge.
Yes. But the play in, like, you look at these teams and, like, nobody's running to play any of these teams. Okay, the Kings, yes, they lost Malik Monk, which I agree with you. I think would be huge. Like, he was a spark plug off the bench. And just in general, this season hasn't been – they didn't sneak up on – I don't think they snuck up on people last year, but I think that last year was a shock for a lot of people because you don't expect much from the Kings because they ain't really done nothing since before Jay-Z retired from rapping. They hadn't really done anything. But these play-in teams, I mean, I don't think nobody's running to play any of those teams. And the teams at the top besides the Nuggets are really like – I don't think OKC can beat the Lakers or the Warriors 4 times in 2 weeks. The Timberwolves, I think, have the most talented roster, arguably, in the NBA, as far as top six, one of the most talented rosters in the NBA. But I just question their, number one, their offense. Defensively, they are incredible. They are incredible defensively. They play some of the best perimeter defense I actually think I've ever witnessed live ever in my life. I went to the Timberwolves Clippers game a couple weeks ago when they came back from 20 down and Kawhi left. The way that the perimeter players defend, incredible. It's actually incredible to watch live. But offensively, especially with Kat being out, even though I guess Kat is going to return, their offense does struggle regardless. So I wonder about them getting buckets in postseason situations when you need to run offense and when the other team knows what you're going to do. So basically, like, I like when I look at the bottom of those two playing teams, like, I think that they can get past, you know, OKC or get past a Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves would be the harder task, but I think that they can maybe get past one of those teams. So I think the Lakers are clicking at the right time. I mean, they're not having a bad season, right? They're not having a great season. It's just that the Western Conference is, everybody's has pretty good teams. So that's not like their last year. I think last year they got in, it was like, what, 41-41 or something like that last year. Like, they weren't like, they're like, they this like this this team is above 500 clearly. Like, it's 8 games above 500, and if they lose to the Wizards, they should not lose to the Wizards today. Currently, right now, who they're playing, they should beat the Wizards. They should end up, they in the end of the season, maybe 10 games above 500. So I like the Lakers. I wouldn't spend money on the Lakers, but if they could get the Timberwolves, really the Thunder, I think they would have the best chance of beating the Thunder. If they get past the Thunder, you know, we'll see. Because again, I think when you get into a playoff series, that's when the mind of LeBron and you know, those type of things really matter. When you play it every other night, whatever, but when you got a scheme with somebody 7 times in 2 weeks and you talk about the guy who's seen it all, I think that's when that part of LeBron's game can take over. But moving on.
I mean, the Kings also lost Kevin Herter.
Yes. But moving on, Joel Embiid returned last night against OKC. I think it was the first game since, if I'm not mistaken, January 30th.
Oh, the game was last night? Okay.
The game was last night, which the Sixers won. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play and Jalen Williams didn't play, which actually I know I was watching it, but I wasn't paying too much attention. I'm like, oh shit, the Sixers look good. Then I realized Shai on the bench in street clothes and Jalen Williams on the bench in street clothes. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I guess. But what do you think about Embiid's return? I mean, obviously, it was times when he looked completely gassed, but the man ain't played NBA action in 2-3 months. Kind of, what do you expect? But what do you think about Embiid's return against the Thunder? And did you like what you see?
I did. He pretty much – he had like a – it wasn't like his typical wowing stat line, but for somebody to miss all the time he missed and to come back and get 24 on 14 shots, 7 assists and 6 rebounds, it's definitely a good thing and a good sign for Sixers fans. I think that and also just Kelly Oubre had yet another great game from him with no, I know the obviously the OKC was hurt, but they didn't have Maxey. But Philly, I think, and Embiid's return is huge. I think it's huge for the city. I think it's huge for the team. And as he's one of the most entertaining players for me to watch, and I mean, and that the league has to offer, I think Joel Embiid. Basically, this team is a big, huge threat. I said this on the last podcast, but they're a huge threat to any team in the East not named Boston. I don't think they can match up with that team at all whatsoever, just based on the strengths and weaknesses. We've seen it multiple times, I think at least three times in the playoffs, and every single time Boston has beat them. Embiid is very aware of this. He said it himself after the post-conference, after they lost to them once again, they kick our ass every time. But top to bottom, I think I like the coaching. I like some of the guys they have. I like what they do. I like the gritty style that they play with. And just getting behind a guy like Embiid, who's probably arguably one of the greatest centers ever, can score all 3 levels, get to the foul line pretty much whenever he wants, a force. Even Anthony Edwards was talking about earlier this year when he dropped like 40 on the Timberwolves. He don't understand how they lose games because of how dominant he is. He had a 70-point game this year over Wembanyama. Over Victor. He's had 60-point games back-to-back years, averaging over 30-plus points per game, one of the only centers in the history of basketball to ever do that. But I just think that this team, hopefully they can keep getting Embiid more reps heading to the playoffs, keep getting them more reps, and try to avoid Boston, and then just see what happens. But I do like what they got going on. I think they're a top 3 team in the East when fully healthy, for sure.
Granted, obviously Embiid has to be healthy, but he's on the court, he's playing. So I'm going to take him and the Sixers at their word that he's healthy. Ain't no reason they can't get to the finals.
The finals?
I'm sorry. Ain't no reason that they can't get to the finals. If Embiid is who we think he is, ain't no reason. If you the most dominant big man in the NBA, ain't like you out there with scrubs. They got you another all-star. You got one of the best shooters, honestly, ever in NBA history. Tobias Harris, granted, he's a disappointment.
Tobias Harris, contract, Mr. Inconsistent.
Listen, Embiid is fucking too.
Embiid is inconsistent.
Yeah, have you looked at the beat in the playoffs?
The reigning MVP.
Did you remember game six?
He said,
whoa. Did you remember game six in Philly last year when they was up, I think, four with however many minutes left? And they, people blamed Harden, and B wasn't shooting that motherfucker either. He wasn't exactly lighting it up either. And it was in his house in Philly, game six to close out the Celtics.
Hey, I don't know what it is, but Al Horford, Al Horford does an insane, really, really, really good job guarding B.
If you supposed to be the most dominant big man or player in the NBA, I'm sorry, you got to get it done. You're not out there with nobody. Like I said, Tobias Harris, he's granted for his contract, he is disappointed, but he does not suck. He does not suck. You got Kyle Lowry. Granted, Kyle Lowry is at the end, but he can still come in there and give you at least some decent minutes. You got Kelly Oubre, who has been who everywhere he's been, he's at least been a productive NBA player. Mo Bamba coming off the bench. Like, you don't have a bad team. Do you have some incredible team? No. But if you are who you say you are, you should be able to get it done. So
he's
if
in
you,
the same conference as incredible teams, though. He's sharing with Boston. Boston is an incredible team. They got the worst team by 12 games, brother.
First of all, it went seven. Second of all, you were up in game six in your house. You could have closed it out. I don't want to hit this shit. I don't want to hit it. Porzingis is not supposed to be able to guard Embiid. Who on the Celtics can guard Embiid? I love Al Horford. He's fucking 37.
He guards
like the 37-year-old man. At some point in time, you got to stop this shit, G. Al Horford is 37 years old. I understand it. You know, when Horford was like 33 and, you know, you were like 25 first year in the playoffs. Brother, you'd have been in the playoffs pretty much every year of your career. At some point in time to be great, you got to figure out these riddles. If you want to be legendary, you got to figure out these riddles.
It doesn't have to be this year, though.
Why can't it be? How many more years of Embiid do we think that we're going to get? Watching for France. Shout out to you, my dog.
Right now, as it stands, they have what? The two max players on this roster are Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris. I don't think we're looking at anybody in the league when there's your second max option.
Tyrese Maxey.
He's not a max player yet. He hasn't even signed a max contract yet. Yeah, those are the two top players on the team.
I feel you, but you got two all-stars. Am I wrong?
You got two all-stars.
You got one MVP. You got one other All-Star. How much more you need? Look at the rest of the conference. Who got more than two All-Stars?
Milwaukee?
They ain't got more than two All-Stars. They had two All-Stars.
They got more depth, they got more depth.
They got Giannis. Do they really have more depth?
Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton.
Brooke
Lopez, the defensive player of the year. No,
you got fucking Embiid. Tobias Harris can't match Middleton.
No.
Every single game, no. But Tobias Harris can go out and use 16 points, G, and play some solid defense.
He can. He can, but that shit don't be happening as much as it should be for Mr. 35 million a year.
Okay, his contract is egregious for his production, but it doesn't mean he sucks.
It does mean that I'm not going to expect Embiid to be able to take this core to championship.
I don't think it's championship or bust, but at some point in time, G, you got to figure out these riddles, bro. That's all I'm saying. At some point in time, you got to figure out these riddles, especially if you're healthy. And again, you own the court, so I'm going to take it as you being healthy because it ain't like your team suck. Like, how much more do you really need? Same shit that happened with Giannis back in the day. In 2021. Errol was like, he needs more help. I was like, no, he has a good team. He got to figure this shit out. At some point in time, if you're going to be great, you got to go be great and figure this shit out. Everything's not going to be perfect for you.
You also got to be fortunate.
I agree.
You also got to be fortunate. You got Giannis was blessed with playing the Hawks in the conference finals and then was blessed with playing the Phoenix Suns in the finals.
Right now, as it stands, they are the eighth seed. So right now, they would be in the play-in. If they can't jump out the play-in, maybe they can jump out the play-in. But if they jump out the play-in, like let's say they get to six and they face the Cavs first round, I think they should beat Cleveland.
They should beat the Cavs. They should beat the Cavs.
Then you got Boston in the second round, brother. You're going to have to exercise some demons at some point.
If they get to 60, they'll play the winner out of play the winner out of 4-5. Yeah,
The Bucks.
No, they play Milwaukee. Yeah, probably Milwaukee or
at some point in time, you had to exercise some demons, brother. I don't know what to tell you. This team ain't terrible. If you look at Maxey and Dame, I think granted, obviously Dame is Dame, but Maxey gonna give him some go. It's gonna be one or two games where Maxey gonna play better than Dame.
I guess.
Is that insane to say?
Nah, it can happen. It can happen. I wouldn't bank on it, but it can happen.
Again, day two guard is Malik Beasley. Our two guard, Buddy Hield. I'm cool with that.
Can I say something real fast? Just about just the playoffs and just the NBA in general. I don't like how over the last couple of years, I became like I wouldn't say a diehard, but I've been following the NFL like really closely and just everything about it. Like, you know, the coverage to the divisions to the rivalries to all different types of stuff about it. And I just really hate how it brings me to this point. I came to the realization. I really hate how the NBA has devalued division games. And the regular season matter, and how they allowed the regular season to be watered down. I remember, I'm not sure exactly. I thought about it. I didn't look it up, but I'm not sure exactly what year happened. But at one point, I remember growing up. I'm not sure, maybe if it was the last 10 years or 15, maybe 12, maybe 7, somewhere in that range. But if you won your division, you had a guaranteed top four seed in the league.
They changed they changed it because I think it will. One reason they changed it is because it was a couple things. It was a few years where, like, the two best teams played, like, the second round. Because I think it was some years where, like, I remember it was one year where, like, Dallas and the Spurs were both in the same division. They played the second round in the conference finals.
I don't think that's much of a flaw, though. I mean, it is what it is. The matchups are what they are. But I just think doing that, it's a direct correlation to watering down your regular season game and not making games matter. When you watch the NFL, Cowboys and Eagles, they hate each other. And the games they play are so fucking important.
Matters.
Like, Lakers-Suns is not giving them the same type of vibes every time around. Every once in a while, you might get a contention. But every single time, it's not that important. You don't get those same, we don't win this game. This could cost us a division. Like, it's not like a bloodbath in the regular season. I get the NBA pop because they tried their best to do something with the in-season tournament, which is something, you know, better than, rather than just, you know, continuously allowing all these years and not putting up no sort of a fight for what the regular season has pretty much become for the most of it. But I just think that they really fumbled that up the opportunity on pretty much keeping the regular season competitive by completely, like, just relinquishing the value on, you know, your division and in-division rivalries and things like that. It's just, like, Lakers Clippers is fire, but it's not as fire as it can be. Knicks Brooklyn is not as fire. It's fire, but it's not as fire as it can be because they pretty much took all of the life out of that and just kind of like said, like, yeah, like, you know, just play.
I'm not mad at that. I think that regional rivalries definitely helped the game. And yes, we did grow up with more regional rivalries because of things like that, like Dallas Spurs in the 2000s. That mattered. Like, those games matter. I'm with you. I definitely think that is one thing that they could maybe stand to reinstate to try to give some of these games and, you know, the random games in January or like the random games in March, especially around like this time. I feel like these days are like the dog days of the seasons because for some teams, like the Celtics, they didn't have number one seed wrapped up for like 2 months at this point in time. It's like, what do we really, can we just simulate to the playoffs? I mean, even me, somebody who loves basketball, these last couple weeks, I'm like, bro, can we just simulate to the play-in, G? Granted, I know it's some important games, but can we just simulate to the play-in, bro? Can we just do that? So, no, I feel you. I'm not mad at that. Good take.
Yeah, like, imagine if we had, like, Cleveland is currently a game and a half behind Milwaukee. Like, imagine them two were battling out for their top division spot. Like, you know, if I win this division, I got a guaranteed home court playoff series. I just don't see – I know I understand what you said. I just don't see – you would possibly eliminate the adventure of that. Because of the teams, it just doesn't make that much sense to me. I think it'd be fire if we had them, like, you know, when you get a home court playoff series, if you win your division – imagine we had a Bucks Cleveland matchup later tonight. It'd just be like that's playoff intensity right there towards the end of the year. I mean, I'm not sure. I highly doubt there's any sort of possibility to change, but I think that's probably the direct reason on as to why the NBA regular season has become what it's come because of that division rule that they got rid of and how well it works. But I know obviously the NFL has less games and they only play once a week.
NFL trying to play 82. Trying to play,
so there's value, but
got CTE by the time they done.
But the recipe works so well for NFL, and it keeps the fans super passionate, and it keeps the players intact, keeps the players hating, it just keeps a tradition that just keeps them looking like just competitive as hell, and just wanting to go out there and really leave it all on the field or the floor. And I just think the NBA completely dropped the ball on that. Considering how well this worked for the NFL for like, what, I don't know, how long they've been doing it.
Fair. Moving on. I know that they're not going to make the play-in, probably. But I do want to give the Houston Rockets some love.
For sure.
I want to give them some love for how they finished the season. I mean, obviously, Jalen Green has been playing great. And I also think that the Houston Rockets are going to be in a bit of a conundrum. Because I think the team can go in two different directions. I like Şengün. I love Jalen Green. I think that, but you have to sacrifice one of the others play to get the best from the other one.
So you think I have to trade one of them? That's a, but they're both top tier assets. So you should expect a good return for either one.
I agree. I'm just saying, I think that they have a conundrum. Right, because Jalen Green, I think Jalen Green's recent uptick, I know people have made jokes, but Jalen Green's actual recent uptick is because Şengün went down. When you have Şengün is a very, I don't want to say a ball dominant player, but like you want to run your offense through Şengün because he's that good. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's as good as Jokic, because I don't think he's not as big as Jokic. I think he's more like, he's kind of like undersized for like the center position. And he's not the greatest athlete. So I don't know if you can fully build a championship team around him. But he is still really, really good. But when he went down, and now you got to give Jalen, like Jalen is a guy who needs the ball to be able to give you his best stuff. And granted, he's becoming more of an actual a legitimate NBA player. I felt like his first 2 years he was out there still playing like he was at an AAU run. Now he's actually playing legitimate actual basketball. So I just want to get a Houston Rockets some love, man. Great. What do you think about the Houston Rockets, and what do you think about what Joker has done with them and the future of this basketball
team? I think heading into the year, we did a podcast, I'm pretty sure, and I said, or one of us said, if Udoka obviously was a big-time coach, a hiring, one of the big-time hirings in all season as far as coaches go, we would say if he can get them to slide their feet and play some defense, because remember how bad they were last year.
They are currently eighth in defense.
I said they might even want to build a statue of Udoka. They might even start working on that, because that is insanely impressive. I know they've made, obviously, you add Fred VanVleet, you add who else did they add this offseason? I know you spent Dylan Brooks. I think those are two huge pickups that really play in the Udoka style, his great variety of defense that he executed very well in Boston. But I think, yeah, this team, they have something to look forward to, most definitely, for sure. And I'm kind of agreeing with you on picking and choosing between Şengün and Green. Also, really like, I mean, a lot of teams, it's happening, they slid Jabari Smith to the five, and wow, like he's slender. I obviously can handle the shoot, but like the fact that he was able to hold it down there during this winning streak, that speaks volumes about them and Udoka schemes and everything they got going on. Also, Amen Thompson has been exceptional. He can play on ball or off ball. He can play on ball or off ball, I feel like, but I think he's been great this year. I love that they rotate VanVleet and Green. And also, with Amen out there, he's so versatile on defense. I remember in the beginning of the year, Asor started off the year, he hit the ground running, he's fell off a little bit now. Now it's more Amen's time, but he's been exceptional. He's first team all rookie without a doubt. He's rebounding the ball, he's stealing, he's pushing the pace, he's scoring. He has been exceptional this year. Easily a top five rookie. But the team, Tari Eason, he's been out, but he's been pretty good.
Cam Whitmore, when he plays, has been good too.
Yeah, Cam Whitmore has been another guy who's drafted around the same realm as Pods too.
I wish the Lakers would have picked him, by the way.
Yeah, really. Yeah. He had
my man Neil watching from Ireland, man. Shout out, shoot. Thank you. I know it's like fucking midnight in Ireland right now, so shout out, shoot, for being up with us and checking us out.
But, my bad. Yeah. You good? But just overall, yeah, the roster, it's a solid roster, and I think Udoka, his ability to come in there and have such an impact on his team year one speaks volumes about him and how good of a hire it was for that team. And I think that just looking forward, they should be one of the more exciting young teams that we want to look at and play close attention to over the next couple of years. As I wouldn't be mad. I would expect them to probably be top six next year, depending on the roster moves they're making.
It's tough, but it could happen.
Possibly. Yeah, I think that's where they should be when they're mine. Like, we only want to get better. And if these guys keep making jumps and the personnel pickups, I think Dylan Brooks was great for just, add another wing guy, another greedy guy out there to, get out there, guard some people, set the tone for you. Because, I mean, a lot of times it was embarrassing last year. Like, it's kind of like this year. Like, last year, they were like this year's Charlotte, Dudes going to Charlotte, they do whatever the hell they want.
Oh, no. No. Charlotte's one of the worst franchises. Charlotte.
I'm
Charlotte
talking about this last year specifically. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Rockets were better than. Yeah, yes, I feel you. Charlotte fucking sucks.
I'm talking about.
We need to talk about the Hornets too, because they got some real. The Hornets got some real problems. The Hornets got some real problems. That actually fuck it. That real quick. Riding out Houston. I love their young core. I think they're gonna have some huge decisions to make though, because unfortunately you can't pay all these guys. I think they need to figure out who their actual core is going to be, and then line it up with some veterans around them that fit. I think A-Man is your point guard. I think A-Man and Green is your backcourt of the future. I think as far as the wing goes, I know you got Dylan Brooks, and he's not old, so you can keep him around. But between Cam Whitmore, Jabari Smith, and Tari Eason, you kind of got like a logjam. Then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Sengun. How is that going to work? So I definitely think that they have some decisions to make. But these are all good conundrums to have. These are good problems. Like, they have problems because they have so much talent, and not problems because they don't have talent. I would rather have the problem of having talent than having the problem of not having talent. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You want to talk about the Hornets now?
Yes.
obviously, they've been injury riddled. LaMelo Ball has not played over.
LaMelo Ball has one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Relax. LaMelo Ball has one of the worst contracts in the NBA. Too soon.
Can you listen to what LaMelo Ball has played over the past couple of years? And hold on, wait. Can you listen to what first year, 51 games. Next year, 75, great. He was an all-star that year. Then 36, 22. He about to get paid $300 million, basically. He got
the Steph ankles. But, I mean, it's not nothing. To be – ankles are like, you know, it's not like they, you know,
I feel you, but have you seen his brother? Have you seen his brother?
That's fair, too. But I wouldn't be surprised if he came back and played as a 70-plus next year.
That is the same fucking gene pool.
Remember, he's still young as hell, and he's still – one of the better top talents and guards in the league. So, I mean, I don't think it's that much of a red flag.
Also, the Hornets are just a very unserious basketball team, bro. Like, just look at those guys. I like Brandon Miller. I fuck with Brandon Miller. I think Brandon Miller has a very dope rookie season.
He's been good, yeah.
And I think that he can possibly be the guy to, like, you know, bring some actual consistency and I don't know. Give a fuck to the Hornets. They have a very unserious. They be down 20 on the bench laughing. What's funny?
$500 bit.
What's funny?
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, when your best player is Miles Bridges, somebody who raps about shooting people. When your best player is Miles Bridges, I mean, and as your leader, kind of in the locker room, you don't really have any.
What are you doing, bro?
I know you picked up Grant Williams. But you don't really, besides that, you don't really have any visible events. But I mean, huh?
He's 25.
Exactly. And you see what happens when a 25-year-old who raps about shooting people or selling drugs and stealing people's women can do for you. Even though on the court, he's been exceptional offensively this year and rebounding-wise. But just there's no real leadership, no vets. And it's just – they try when LaMelo is there, they play fast. They get up and down the court. And they don't guard the chair. But and by the way, Miles Bridges is the greatest rapper in NBA history.
That's cap. It's Shaquille O'Neal. I feel
no. Miles Bridges is way better than him. Bro.
He's not way better. Shaquille O'Neal rapped on the song. No, bro. Hold on, wait. Shaquille O'Neal rapped on the song. Shaquille rapped on a song with Biggie and didn't get cooked.
Oh my god!
And didn't
Miles get Bridges rapped on a song with Skilla Baby and didn't get cooked.
G between
Skilla Baby hard G.
I fuck with Skilla Baby. You gotta goddamn relax between the Notorious B.I.G. and fucking Skrilla Baby. What the fuck?
And he hopped on the track with V's and think it was. So I mean, hey.
Bitch, shout out V's. V's is hilarious. But it's a fucking difference between not getting cooked by V's and not getting cooked by the Notorious B.I.G.
I guess, but I'm about to hear. I'm about to spit that. I ain't gonna lie. I'm about to spit that shit full.
You never heard Kids in the Rain?
That song is better. I mean, I'm pretty sure Miles Bridges got better records than that.
No, he does not. No, he don't. He got a better record than Shaquille O'Neal. Can't Stay in the Rain with fucking Biggie.
We got to play him. We got to play him all out, back to back, and we got to have an honest opinion on that. Because
honest opinion is Can't Stay.
Honest opinion on that. Nah, bro, don't act like Miles Bridges got some hits, bro. Franchise tag, team man, on the rocks, nigga. I got time to see what you got in your pockets, nigga.
The man said, play LeBron and sell some work
where the Lakers play.
Yeah. I feel you. But no, the Hornets, bro. Like, the Hornets have a serious They have a serious culture problem. And again, I think LaMelo Ball is on the road to have one of the worst contracts in the NBA. He getting paid about $250 million. He's too young to say that, man.
Too young. And it's not like they lost anything these last couple of years.
He getting paid $250 million. I don't even know how much he gives a fuck. And now I got $250 million.
Did you not see how exceptional he was playing? You can't not give a fucking put up fucking
24,
12 assists, and 9 rebounds.
Yes, you can.
The man was averaging 35 sleeper points per game in fantasy.
I think he is an incredible talent. I think he has a lot of potential. I don't think he's been playing actual basketball for the most part since he's been in the league with the Hornets. He's just been kind of doing whatever the hell.
That's modern basketball.
Okay, but like the teams modern that win,
elite yard basketball, modern elite yard basketball.
He'll be out there doing whatever the hell, Gene. He be out there sometimes doing whatever the hell.
Whatever the hell? They don't expect to win games.
I think that's the fucking problem, number one. Because why you on the bench, whole team on the bench dripped out, laughing, getting fits clean off. The outfits is crazy. The jury is crazy. I know when they go to Icebox, it's something different. Whole team fly as hell, down 35 on the bench laughing. But look, man, listen, I just think the Hornets have serious problems. Again, I fuck with Brandon Miller. I love Brandon Miller. I think Brandon Miller, if Wemby wasn't being Wemby, the rookie of the year would probably be Brandon Miller, because Brandon Miller has been dope this season, especially the second half of the season. He's really, really came along. But I just think the Hornets got some serious problems, man. Some serious, 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 serious problems.
That's very fair. They got a whole full rebuild. Hopefully they get a top three pick this year.
Another top three pick to do what with? To put more young people on the court. You gotta work with what you got. Whatever. But moving on, the Phoenix Suns, obviously they're the AFC. I feel like we gotta talk about them because I think they're like, no matter what, I think they still are a scary basketball team, because you do have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Nurkic isn't terrible. Like this team, granted, it is top heavy, but they have some pieces on the bench. You have Royce O'Neal, you have Grayson Allen, you Bobo, who has been playing better when he actually gets in the game now. So you do have some actual, you know, pieces and guys there. Do you think the Suns have a legitimate shot to actually make a run at it and actually contend for a NBA championship? They also have beaten the Nuggets a couple times this season. They have beaten them a couple times this season.
Even in Denver.
Yes, in them. So do you think they actually have what it takes to be a serious competitive basketball team?
Serious contender might be a little strong, but I do think they will be like a hell of a playoff team. Like, I think that whoever they end up losing to, whether it's the Nuggets, whoever, Timberwolves, Lakers, whoever it is, they won't be an easy out for sure. I think that last year, with Chris Paul not even being there, they arguably had to wear the hardest challenge for the Nuggets all year. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant were absolutely exceptional in that playoff series. I think they each averaged 30 plus on insane percentages. And now you come back this year, you remix and you add a Beal. Aiden wasn't really there mentally last year in the playoffs. Now you add to what we know Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are capable of doing in the series. You add a Beal to that. You add a Grayson Allen having a career season. You add a big Nurk to that, who can hold the paint down, rebound, block some shots. You add a Royce O'Neal, like you talked about. You add the possibility, the theory of Bobo to what we know that these guys can do. And it can happen, but is it likely? Just because their big depth. Like I said, Bobo is still more of a, even though he's shown good stretches this year, he's still more of a possibility that happening. If they can get some, I don't trust the big depth. If Nurkic gets in foul trouble, you have no choice but to either put Durant at the five, or you had to go with Bobo at the five most time. I mean, then they, who else? What are the five? They don't have Jock Lando no more. He's just a rocket. But I know they have another big. I can't think of his name, but he do have another big. But yeah, Eubanks. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I fuck with Eubanks. Eubanks ain't bad.
I fuck with him too. But like, if your main guy gets a foul trouble, or if he's dealing with injury or something like that, that's the guy you got to go to in the series where you match up with Gobert, Joker, AD, or any of these monsters out in the West. It just doesn't sound too favorable. Even a Chet, but the big debt might be what holds them back, but it's possible just because of we know what Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and what these guys are capable of. They can get Grayson Allen to continue shooting the way he does, and a couple huge games from Beal, one or two good playoff runs under his belt. If he can show some veteran leadership, and
that
some
was like 10 years ago, but yes, he does.
That means he should be well and rested. But if I just like they. To credit the Suns, that they've done a better job of building around Kevin Durant and Booker now that the second year of them, almost a second year, I know a half a year and a half. They've done a better job of building around them, and if they can catch fire at the right time, and the core guys can also help them out, I think that they can have the possibility of being a real contender. I wouldn't bet on them though.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on them either. I would say real contender is kind of strong, but I wouldn't want to play them. You know, again, you still do have. I mean, granted, he's 35, but he's still playing as good as ever. You have Kevin Durant, you have Devin Booker, and quietly they're 13th in defense. They're 10th in offense and 13th in defense. Usually to win a championship, you need to be a top 10 team in both. They're close to being a top 10 team in both. I didn't know that they were 13th in defense, but they're actually guarding somebody, which is going to be huge for them. You can't just outscore everybody every single time. You got to play some defense. So that's encouraging. But yeah, I mean, I think that, again, you get those two. This is, again, where – basketball knowledge and stuff takes over. Kevin Durant has won it at the highest levels before. He's been doing this for in playoff series for the past 12, 13, 14 years, probably. Mm-hmm. That's when you got to guard those guys seven times in 2 weeks. And I think that, you know, and these guys can hit tough shots, so it's not like they got to be completely open to get a bucket. They can hit tough shots, and then you still have the X factor of Bradley Beal. This is a guy who's averaged 30 before. Right now he's averaging 17, but a lot of that is because like he really ain't been there half the season. But recently he's actually been playing more. You do still have that as a X factor. So I think that like they can be tough for any team. Like I said, would I pick them? I don't know if I would pick them. I don't think that they have the best team, but I do think that the team is better than what some people will give it credit for. And it's better than what it was at the start of the year. It's better now than what it was then. And again, they're actually defending. Like you said, Grayson Allen is one of the better three-point shooters in the league. You mix that with KD and Book. Nurk, I know people say what they want to say about Nurk, but Nurk is still a presence. He's a really, really big body. He can score. You know, you're probably not going to you're not going to dunk the ball out to him 15 times a game, but he can score. He's also, like I said, a bigger body, good rebounder. There's been games this year in which he's had 20 rebounds, which is needed. He kind of does the dirty work for that team. He's averaging he's averaging a double-double. He's giving you 11 and 11, and he's giving you three offensive rebounds, which for them I think is huge because, again, you got, you know, guys who are going to take a lot of shots. So, again, real contender, kind of the wrong word, but I do think that they can be a tough team. Really for pretty much anybody. I mean, if you look at it right now, they're in the play-in, so they would be playing. If they win out, they would be playing the winner. If they stay in the play-in and they can beat the Kings, they would be playing the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves would be a very tough series for them. But at the same time, I think the Timberwolves are sometimes stupid. So, you know, and like Andy Edwards said, they got Kevin Durant, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
The Timberwolves are a little more seasoned now. And you know that you had to go bear.
Is some of the most flagrant fucking shit. I love Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. But Anthony Edwards has taken some of the most flagrant shots I have seen a human being taking a very long time. Every time he shoots the ball, he plays like this must go on my career highlight montage. Like that play when he did like 16 pivots, like, bro, pass the ball.
That was crazy. That shit was a travel too.
Pass the ball, like, bro. I know.
3 seconds.
Three seconds. Spin.
I watched it like 8 times, bro. I'm like, he really did that many times.
Now, granted, you made it, and that's fire. But gee, I know somebody else was open. Somebody else out there was open, bro. Ain't no way it wasn't nobody else out there open. Also, in late game situations. Have you watched the Timberwolves in late game situations? Like, have you seen this shit and be shooting?
I feel you. Is that more? Is that his fault? I mean, I guess it's his fault, but I mean,
not granted. Not granted.
It's kind of modern basketball.
Yeah, but it'd be like down two, pull up for three, miss that motherfucker. Now, granted, when it comes to the Timberwolves, you don't, like we said before, you don't have many guys, especially when Cat isn't there, you don't have many scoring options. Like, everybody, you kind of got to set up. So, granted, he does have to force the issue a little bit more because, I mean, Mike Conley, especially at 35 years old, granted, he can randomly get you 20 points, but you're not dependent upon Conley to get you 20. Naz Reid can do a little bit offensively, but you're not dependent on him to get you 20. Rudy, you know you're going to have to set him up. Like, he'll get you 14, but it's not going to be because you're dropping the ball down low and he posting up. You're going to have to, you know, set him up. Jaden McDaniels, you're going to have to. So, yes, he does have to kind of force the issue sometimes. But still, it's like just in late game situations, just the basketball IQ isn't yet there. When he figures it out, if he figures it out, it's going to be incredible. But sometimes the basketball IQ just in late game situations just completely isn't there. But what's your thought on the Minnesota Timberwolves as we start to round the show out?
I think that obviously one of the better defensive teams in the league, and that's on the perimeter and in the paint as far as rim protection goes, and on the perimeter, and that's very dangerous. That means they got guys who can fight over screens. That means they got guys who can stay in front of the ball. That means they have guys who can slide over and make take charges. Guys who cool slide over and make that block. Guys who slide over and just have a direct vertical up and make somebody just want to turn around once they get to the paint. And that's obviously huge. I'm not too high on defense to win championships nowadays, but if they can continue to do what they do defensively, they can possibly have a big run. But like you said earlier, it really relies on what if Cat gets back and if he can be himself. But the team, obviously, they've been floating around the 1-3 seed majority of the year. Anthony Edwards has obviously made strides with Cat being down. His numbers have all increased across the boards. They got veteran leadership, like you said, Mike Conley at point guard. But I just think it's matchups. Certain teams, that, like you said, you think they give the Nuggets a fight, which makes a ton of sense. Obviously, they have Jokic, but you got the 3-time defensive player of the year, possibly maybe even 4-time defensive player of the year, and Rudy Gobert to match up with him. You got – like I talked about their perimeter defenders. You got Jamal Murray running out there. Has had probably two of the better guard playoff performances in the entire league over the last couple of years.
the modern day B-ball Joe. You got Jamal modern day ball once a show.
That's your facts. But you got Jamal Murray running around doing whatever the hell he wants in multiple like. Playoff runs. You got guys like Jaden McDaniels, guys like Anthony Edwards to chase him over the screens. You got wings who can talk big wings. You got McDaniels and even the Anthony Edwards of the world to close out on Michael Porter Jr. of the world to make things tougher on KCP to not just have them running around making things easy. I have the personnel is there, but going back to what you said, the execution has to be better. I think that has to do with Anthony Edwards. He really just needs to maybe try to get to his spots more often instead of just being such a shot checker.
You don't even know what his spot is. He's shooting that motherfucker.
You got to figure that out. But the team obviously is deep. I think they're deep on both ends, especially with Cat back. It's hard to. They got tons of options on offense. You can drive to the rim. You can finish yourself. This is to Rudy for a lob threat on a lob. You got Cat spacing the floor out. McDaniels is a little bit of offensive threat, but. Well, around all around, it possibly can't just come down to the execution and how they maximize their points and whatnot in these situations in the coming time in the playoffs. Things like LeBron talked about on the podcast, 2-for-1s, how are they managing those? Are they going down there trying to get a 2-for-1 regardless of whether or not they had a good shot last couple of possessions, or are they settling down and maybe running something, run some sort of action to get Edwards open look, to get Cat open look, to get a Rudy Gobert lob, to get these different actions that make the game easier on them instead of just making it seem like offense is so damn hard. They kind of like, you know, the Celtics on their offense. Obviously, they banked them. Their defense has got them one seeds and finals runs and mad playoff wins over the last couple of years. But they offense is where they struggle. They kind of similar to what those the same issues that they had. But if they can somehow fix that, then they can be a real contender. But until then, yeah, we don't. They probably won't go so far.
Fair. Last thing I want to talk about is. What is your favorite potential playoff matchup? As it stands, this is what would be the matchups. In the Eastern Conference, you would have Celtics versus whatever the play-in. Well, Celtics versus the play-in of winner or whatever. So it would be Celtics versus whoever, obviously that 8, 9, 10 play-in, and or whoever loses the 7, 8 play-in will play the Celtics. Magic Knicks is a series. Cavs Pacers is a series, and Bucks would get the winner of the 7-8 play-in. That's the East. Obviously, the Nuggets would currently get the winner of the 9-8 play-in, or the loser of the 7-8 play-in. The Wolves would get the winner of the 7-8 play-in. Clippers, Mavericks, and you have Thunder, Pelicans. If I was going first, I would say the two series that intrigue me a lot. Well, actually, two series in the West. But actually, a lot of series in the West intrigue me a lot. But I'm going to say Clippers, Mavericks. Right, I'm gonna say.
How much you tired of Lakers words? I don't want to see that no more. I also, also, contrary to popular belief, I mean, they say Luka busted ass, but they haven't even beat them in the series yet. You want to see that again?
I do want to see that again.
You want to see that again? For the third time? I don't want to see that again, G.
Listen, they're not going to beat the Clippers. Bro. The Clippers are going to win.
I don't want to see that again.
The Clippers are going to win. Probably
you want to see it again, knowing that's gonna happen.
But yeah. I get to see Kyrie dribble for fucking a couple games in person. Yes, I do want to see it. Yeah, selfishly, I want to see the shit.
I don't want to see that again, bro.
I think to me that would be an interesting series. Granted, I don't think there's any possible way that I think that they Clippers have enough bodies to at least make it difficult for Luka. Like Luka gonna do what Luka gonna do, but they have enough bodies to make it difficult for Luka. Kyrie is the X factor because Kyrie is just Kyrie. So I think he's the X factor. But this year you also do actually have bigs and things like that. Like you have a decent big rotation. You have Gafford, and you know the Gafford Zubac matchup can be something. But for me in the West, I think that's a good one. And if it stands the way it stands, the sneaky series for me is Pelicans OKC because I don't know who's gonna win that series.
That's a sneaky series
if it stands the way it stands.
That is sneaky. For me in the West, like I said, I don't want to see Clippers, man. We've just seen that. We just seen it too many times. If it happens later in the playoffs, that's fine. But I definitely don't want to see it in the first round. In the West, my sleeper playoff series is going to be Phoenix versus OKC. The possibility of that one, I think that would be pretty fire. Because obviously OKC is the higher seed. But both these teams aren't the biggest teams. They both have a lot of wing firepower when it comes to the Shays. Josh Giddey has been playing exceptionally well over the last month. So I don't know if you noticed, but he's been filling up the stat sheet. He's been really well. Jalen Williams, obviously, LeBron hinted at him being a future star. He's been exceptional this year. Duarte is running around being a dirty go-to guy, hitting threes and running around screens and doing his thing. But I think that series would be – it'd be very interesting to see those two teams go at it back and forth. I wouldn't really my pick would be Phoenix just off the simple fact that they're more experienced, more seasoned, older team. But also just kind of like the narrative fact of, you know, KD going back into his old house and knocking him out the playoff. I think that'd be cool. I still think KD, I stand on this, had the most hostile ever environment for a returning player. To his new team when they was holding up the cupcakes and stuff. So I just obviously a lot of the animosity is gone now, but it's still there a little bit. But I think that'd be a great series just off that alone and the fact that these teams match up evenly well on paper. I think just as far as firepower goes and what they like to do, and even the KD matchup is very, very, very appealing.
Fair.
In the
East, my sneaky series actually, I ain't gonna hold you. Mavs, Magic Knicks.
Magic Knicks.
I was gonna
put the Knicks versus somebody a little better than them, but I like that too.
I ain't gonna hold you. Like I think that both of these teams obviously defend really well. I think the Knicks have a very interesting wing rotation. They also have bigger guards as well. I think Brunson can at least struggle a little bit because they do have some bigger guards as well. And also, I would just love to see how Paolo captures the moment and Madison Square Garden for whatever reason, because it's the Mecca. It seems to bring out the best in young guys, and you can really make a name for yourself. And this would be, it's Orlando. People not watching Orlando like that. This would be a place where Paolo could really make a statement. And, you know, because I think the jury is still out on Paolo. Like, how good you
think? It's his second year, brother?
but what I mean is, like, how good you think Paolo's going to be. Like, do you think he has best player in the league type potential? Obviously, I think that, you know, Wimby's going to be around, so that's whatever. But, like, do you think he has best player in the league or, like, top five player in the league type potential? Or do you think he's one of those second-tier guys?
that's a fair question.
I think that this series will start to put together his resume. And, I mean, you're going to be playing against Julius Randle. But Julius Randle is probably going to be, if he's even healthy and ready to play. But he's going to be coming off the shoulder surgery. So I think that would be a really, really dope series for me personally in the Eastern Conference. Because, like I said, Orlando is a team that you don't get to see too much. I think Paolo's been on national TV one time in his career. If he wasn't on like USA Basketball, they don't get on TV. So like again, a lot of the general casual fan probably don't even know he exists, or doesn't know, may have heard the name, but doesn't know how good he is. And again, I think that playing in the Garden, if he's gonna be one of those guys for real, I think you know players turn on when they come play in the Garden. You can really make a name for yourself. So for me in the East, that's the series that currently intrigues me the most.
That's fair. What I'm gonna go, I'm also gonna include the Knicks, but I'm not gonna say Orlando. I'm going straight to all the money. I say Knicks Boston to me is the most intriguing possible. Obviously not gonna happen first round, but down the line, I just think that it'd be a very entertaining season. First of all, I think the Knicks probably my favorite team to watch all year, despite the injuries and despite everything that's happened with despite the injuries. I think the Knicks are one hell of a team. I love how hard they play. I love their camaraderie. I love the grit. I love Jalen Brunson's ascension to pretty much superstardom. I love that. Dante DiVincenzo has been exceptional this year. Josh Hart, as he sailed into one of the top tier role players in the league, he's been on triple double. He's had multiple triple doubles this season. He's on triple double watch every other game. Hardenstein has done a great job of holding down the backup center position. You just got Mitchell Robinson back. Obviously, you just lose OG Anunoby, but he can possibly come back. Randall was having another exceptional year. So I think third straight year as pretty much he made the All-Star team, right? But he just couldn't play his hurt. He's having his third straight pretty All-Star season as a Knick. Tibbs has those guys grinding. Miles McBride has also been exceptional on ball defense. And a guy who went from just being known strictly for his defense is now giving him stuff on offense. Stuff like that is huge coming into these last couple months of the season. And I just think that the Knicks do certain things that I think they can execute better than Boston can in those clutch moments. I think Brunson can
do better
in offense, yes. I think they can do a better job of, you know, finding their spots and getting, like, quality looks than Boston can. You know, Brunson can hit you from the mid-range. It can go at you to the paint or hit you with a three ball. I think that those shots that he can create for himself, sometimes Tatum and Brown, they struggle to get to those spots in the playoffs. And when you have the personnel like the Knicks have and you play as hard as they play, I think that pretty much anything is possible. Also, these are two historic franchises. We haven't seen them match up in the playoffs in years. It'd be lit when it's in Madison Square Garden. It'd be lit when it's
TD Garden.
Yeah, TD Garden. But, yeah, I just think that for sure would be an insane season. I think Boston could possibly lose it. I trust their defense, but I don't trust their offense well enough to be able to hang in a series. Like, I think that'd be the most exciting thing. And if they were to beat the Celtics, that'd be probably one of the best storylines of the NBA the last couple of years, I think, honestly, coming from, like, you know, what they came from. So I just think that there's too much at stake with that series. And we all know Boston, no matter how good they are in the regular season, they are never a lock for a long playoff run.
For sure. For sure. But I think we can leave it there for today. Again, thank all you guys for you know, watching. As always, we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Joe, get your plug in. Tell the people where they can find you at if for some reason they don't know by now.
Give me on Instagram, Joel R. Wilson. On Twitter, at the Joels. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is a fun show.
My man. And as always, man, y'all can follow me on Twitter at Pavy World, P-A-V-Y World, all one word. Make sure y'all go check out my music, Spotify, Apple Music, Pavy. Go find it all. And yeah, man, until next time, we'll talk to y'all. Yeah,